All right, hold it. Testing. Make sure I have all my everything where it's not echoing. All right, good morning, everybody. Good morning. This is Thursday morning, the 16th of January. Can you believe we are halfway through this 40-day time of consecration and fasting and seeking the Lord? I pray everybody is still plowing it in the heavens, still surrendering over to prayer. That's what this time of separation and, you know, taking the first fruits of the year, that's what this is. The 40 days, giving God his time and giving him your temple. And, you know, really pressing into the kingdom. And I'm very thankful to be with you guys here and to be a part of your life and for you to take time away from your day, you know, to be a part of this and to pray for other people and stuff, giving of yourself, in other words. We're going to go ahead. There is a new song that was just released. By Fresh Oil. I believe it's from Christina Beadsworth, Fresh Oil Ministries. But when I play this song, I would like for you guys to listen to the words very carefully. And then I would like for us to spend some time in prayer alone, praying in tongues or just praying. And then when we come back, I want to talk to you about some things that I do see in the political realm that you need to know about. And then I do have a word for you this morning. All right, so let's see here. Here we go. It's called Make Me Brave.
See the rising dust cloud of the war right up ahead, and I'm standing in my armor, well prepared. There's oil in my lamp now, I've stored some more away, but my heartfelt prayer is, Jesus, make me pray. The heart of a warrior that doesn't turn away in the heat of the onslaught. Jesus, make me brave. Give me courage and endurance to keep standing in that day. In the coming hour of trial, make me brave. Your strength, I need your strength.
Yeah.
All right. Wasn't that song beautiful? I really thank the Lord for her ministry. She took some time off this winter to write those songs, and I think it's just very beautiful. I think about what she said in the song about, you know, Lord, when we are standing at the gallows, make us brave. And I know that's the heart's cry of everybody on here. You know, we need the strength of the Lord to do this. This is why we're fasting. This is why we are seeking God on a corporate level, you know, for these first 40 days. Because it's like, you know, we're putting you first in our year. We're giving you our first fruits of the year, you know. You'll see from the word that I have for you this morning that we cannot do anything without him. I mean, that's just a fact. And you have to know that in your heart. You have to recognize who he is in your life type of deal. Well, before I get started in the word, I just want to kind of warn you guys about a few things this morning. First of all, I had a dream. And I saw that FEMA was meeting in an emergency meeting. But that's all I saw in the dream. And so I woke up and I've been trying to find it, but it's not public. So to me, that just tells me something's coming this weekend. They're preparing for, you know, D.C. and whatnot. And when you look it up, there are signs in the media that they're talking about how this is a target, you know, Trump being there is a target for terrorists, they're saying. Let me scroll back up here. It's all such a setup. And President Biden Trump demanded that the flags be raised this entire weekend because they're, according to protocol, because we had a president die, they lay half staff for a month. But because it's flowing over his inauguration, he wasn't happy about it. So now Congress has demanded that they bring the flags back up. So that's going to happen this weekend. Michelle Obama saying she's not going to be there. She's not going to support him. And where is that other one? DeSantis calls for flags to be flown at full staff. All these Republican governors are telling their states that they're raising their flags. Here it is. This is on Newsmax, which is Trump television. President-elect Donald Trump's inauguration will be an attractive potential target for terrorists. All right, so the stage is being set. And then I showed you guys how this arena that he is going to be speaking in on Sunday night or Sunday afternoon is the home of the Wizards. You cannot make that up. The Washington Wizards. And all of the 200 or 20,000 people that will be coming through those doors to show their love and adoration for him will have to walk into Web 3. It's just so sad. You cannot imagine the security and everything they will have there this weekend. You just cannot imagine to the level. Probably drones and security cameras out the wazoo, sensors, probably having people walk through those checkpoints where they're doing digital twins, where they're scanning them from head to toe and putting them in the metaverse. You know, it's basically taking all these people and putting them in Web 3.0. That's what he's going to do this weekend. And it's the saddest thing. It's just so sad for all those people that are, you know, not aware. They're not paying attention to what is happening, and they're just being sucked right into the metaverse, which is really sad. Okay, and then let's see here. There's something else I was wanting to tell you. Oh, don't forget that tonight we will have Zoom. Okay, this is our schedule this weekend. Tonight we will have Zoom, and I'm very excited to come back with you guys. If you have not been a part of a Zoom but would like to be a part of a Zoom, all you have to do is go to our website and register. You just go to our events page and you'll see the information about our Zooms. And basically what it is people, you know, come together on video and we just all talk. I mean, it's just basically where we're gathering in our weekly fellowship, you know, where people can share and ask for prayer or, you know. But it's the time that we all gather and get to meet one another. So it's pretty cool. And then tomorrow on Friday, I will be doing the prayer call. Denise is taking some time off to focus on the Bible college. And so tomorrow we'll do the prayer call in the morning. And then tomorrow night, I'm interviewing a very special man that I would like for all of you guys to meet. His name is Steve. He has been on this call before where I've actually kind of interviewed him just a little bit here, which kind of birthed into the interview we're going to be doing Friday night. It is a very spectacular story. He's like an Olympic champion or a world champion of motor racing. And he you know, now he travels and he preaches and stuff like that. So he's very much a part of our family. He's heart is with us and everything, and he's got his eyes wide open. So I'm excited to hear his life story and to hear, you know, how God did with him years ago when he, you know, was on that level of championship. Because one thing, if y'all missed that call yesterday where we was on here 4.5 hours, after we finished our Wednesday where everybody shared, I read some more of Brock's book. And I tell you, I was crying, you know, reading his book. It is so, I see why that book is changing people's lives. I mean, it is so amazing. But one of the things that we learned about heaven that I did not know is that there are memorials set up of people, like people that do great things. You know, there is a memorial for these people in heaven where they would, he said that they will stand there by their memorial and tell their story of what God did on the earth. And I believe this guy is a great example of that. You know, somebody that does great exploits and then, you know, gives God the glory for it. You know, not somebody like, say, a big singer that is, you know, the top pop star but never gives God glory and never does it for the Lord. Not them. Sad to say where their destiny would be, right? But I'm talking about somebody that, you know, God uses for his glory and turns the story, either if it was before salvation, he turns it around for his glory, or he did it after salvation. You know, but we learned that in heaven, those great exploits are going to be celebrated because it just shows who God is. It shows his uniqueness, you know. And so tomorrow night when we get to hear his story, you know, I just want to kind of tell you guys, you know, just live it with him. You know, when he talks to you about his childhood and, you know, how God brought it about, you know, for him to be at the level that he became, you know, let's celebrate it with him, like if we was all sitting around a campfire in heaven, you know, hearing the great, you know, exploits of somebody on earth. So it was also pretty cool about the book, about the way that the gems were, you know, the way that the way that everything was so expressive, you know, even the, you know, the jasper stone, you know, with all the insides of it exploding. I don't know how to explain it, but it's pretty cool. Okay, so that's Friday night, and then Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, I want you to be with me, okay, if you can. It's going to be a very special time. You remember our old marathons? How many of you remember them 9-hour marathons? We are going to watch all things Trump this weekend. We're going to monitor this thing. So I was thinking, how are we going to monitor this? I mean, not only are we going to monitor, like, what happens at the events, because he's got a whole 4 days. It's a 4-day deal. But not only are we going to monitor the actual event, but we're going to monitor social media. We're going to see, we're going to keep an eye on what people are showing behind the scenes, if y'all know what I'm saying. Because I think we need to know this, because as we watch the Republican National Convention, as we watch the Democrat National Convention, it told us a lot about where we're going, did it not? Because the Republican convention, I've got it actually looking, let me get my my journal where I write everything. I wrote about the Republican thing, and the notes that I took about the Republican one versus the Democrat one, you just wouldn't believe it. You would not believe the difference of the Republican one versus the Democrat one. The Republican one was just so demonic. It was just, you just wouldn't, you would think, okay, you would think that the Democrat one, okay, here we go, here it is, you ready? I found it. Good. It gets to go down in record. You would think that what I'm about to call off to you, just the key points of what happened at the Republican National Convention, you would think would have happened at the Democrat National Convention, but it was not that way. They was the good ones. They was the ones that were on the up and up more. They didn't have crazy symbolism and all that like the Republicans did. I mean, it's such a farce. Let me just show you. Here we go. They kept calling Trump a lion. Well, we know that's important because of MAGA, Make America Great Again, which is MAGA, the highest order of Satanism. So ever since Trump came on the scene in 2016, a lion has appeared as the symbol of MAGA. Okay, so you can't make that up. Stage set up like a cobra head, a snake's mouth. And you know how he was. You knew I was a snake and you let me in. The purple theme was everywhere, which we know is Noah Hyde. And the care economy, which is the robot economy of Elon. The care economy is where they're going to have surveillance in all the homes. They're going to be robots, and they're going to act like they're assistants, but really they're nothing but the beast in your home. There's surveillance in your home, okay? But that's why they have to have the infrastructure changed. And another thing that you need to know about infrastructure, this is why they're burning everything down to the ground. Because in the smart cities, in the new construction that will be built, everything has internet. The roads, the grass, the whole thing will be loaded with surveillance and all of this. They want to create everything. Okay, there is a different look of Trump. Now, at the Republican National Convention, of which I'm reminding everybody of, this was right after his, in quotes, you know what, attempt by the ear, okay? He told everybody, I'm going to change my entire thing. I am going to, you know, he acted like he was going to do the whole thing and not the typical RNC, but he was going to do more of a repentance and more of a unity deal. It wasn't nothing like that. He couldn't resist. Kim Gilliford, which was Donald Trump Jr.'s girlfriend at the time. He has another one now. And she has been promoted. She's now an ambassador of a country. So she has her own job. You know, he pushed her into another position, and now another woman is in Junior's life. Okay, but in the RNC, she looked, because they had her speak. See, y'all have to know, she is the ex-wife of California mayor. What, I forgot that guy's name. But she immediately left him and went straight to Trump. You can't make that up. Him being a liberal. And then she goes and becomes Trump Jr.'s girlfriend. And then as soon as she joins the Trump camp, she starts speaking everywhere and has all these high-level positions. Such a farce. But she looked like a high-level witch when she spoke. It was so obvious. The music there was all the gay theme, which he's been really pushing this YMCA. And even at the inauguration, they're going to be there singing. I mean, it's just pushing the gay agenda terribly and shoving that down the throat of the Christians, spewing that. Yes, thank you, Governor Gavin Newsom. Thank you. Leslie. But pushing that song and that vomit down the Christian's throat, it's corrupt. Everything he does is just to corrupt He declared, I am the party for all people now. I'm inclusive. He let it be made known at that convention that he was no longer only with Christians. It was obvious as the day is long. He had ecumenical prayers from other gods that were presented on the platform in front of everybody. Remember the Indian that did their chants, and then all those religions. It was gross, 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 gross. The logo outside the building looked like a gun shooting an elephant. You can't make that up either. Heavy theme of a God, not Jesus Christ. A God. Because this is how they're doing their unity, is around God. But you have to remember which God. Nothing can harm Trump theme. They all kept saying that. And it reminded me of the scripture, how they wandered after the beast. Because they was talking about, you know, how Trump, they keep trying to kill him, but they can't do it. He's just a Superman, you know. Crowd was wearing the ear bandage to show Trump they are in solidarity with him. It's a worship sign. Military man kept talking about taking enemies out. And you know, he ended up putting that man in a position too. Drug addicts, and the crowd goes wild at this man talking about killing people. You just can't believe how much the corruption has corrupted the church. When they talk about, you know, Trump wanting to behead people and wanting to kill people, and they shout, even when he cusses, they shout and clap. You know, it's so diabolical. It really is. He kept doing the power to the people, we the people. Faith and Freedom announced Kristi Noem as a common sense lady. We know about the common sense agenda. It is a United Nations agenda called the Common Sense Pamphlet, like, you know, which started the Revolutionary War, was that pamphlet. Now they have an end of the country common sense pamphlet type of deal. But it's all for the United Nations. It's how to turn the country into the United Nations. So when you hear this weekend President Trump say we are a common sense presidency, that's what he's talking about. No, I hide on a stick. Okay, Kristi said, this is Noem, that when the assassination attempt happened, that a peace that passes all understanding happened. You believe that? To try to say that God was involved with that is such a farce. And then don't forget that our NAR leaders, like, I think it was Jensen Franklin and what's her name? Paula White. They had a breakfast. We watched this. And where they were saying that it was like the days of old where they anointed a prophet. They compared Trump to a prophet. How many of you watched that show with me? We could not believe that these big time church leaders are declaring that he was anointed as a prophet when he got assassinated, or the attempt, or whatever they wanted to. Yeah, here it is, Jensen Franklin. And I wrote down what he said. Look at this. Good notes, June. Come on. Leviticus 8. Blood anointed the ear, ordained him as a high priest. Now, this is creepy. Because I'll never forget when, what's her name? Paula White prayed over him. I think it was back in 2017 when he first got in, and said that she prayed that his horn would be lifted. And I thought, oh, the little horn, huh? But he said, in this ritual, the high priest would stand before God and took the blood, put it on the right ear, on the right thumb, and took the shoes off and put the blood on the right big toe, and said that was what they did to Trump, and said that he was ordained into the call of God. And the blood works life. Your work is your ministry to God, your thought life, implying to take the shoes off that God is, he is now walking in God's shoes, basically is what he was saying. He is to rebuild this nation. He prayed to give Trump a new year and that we will have moments of destiny and change and that his walk will be led by God. Can you believe that? So those are just my notes, some of the notes that I took from the RNC. But when you look at the DNC, let's see if I got them in here. Because the DNC was totally different. No, I've only got the Pact for the Future notes in here. But the DNC hardly had any notes because it wasn't that bad, really. And so this weekend, though, we're going to be watching what is happening from A to Z. And I would like for you guys to be with me beginning on Saturday. I plan on being live on and off all day. Okay, so I would like for you guys to be with me. And we will probably use the YouTube channel that we have now. We'll probably use that and then, of course, take it down. But I will, I guess I could go ahead and post those. Look at his schedule and see what times we're going to be live throughout the day. And then get those hours posted for you in case you want to be with me. All right, and let's see. So let's look at his schedule real quick, and then we'll move on to the word that I have for you today. All right, let's see here. Trump's inauguration weekend features fireworks, mega rally, and inaugural balls. President Trump's inauguration weekend will start with a fireworks display outside of his Northern Virginia Golf Club, which I was there. I did a ball there. And I can't tell you how they had a statue of Trump and they almost worshipped it there. They were all running over and taking pictures by it and all this and running up and kissing him on the face. And end with a trio of inaugural balls where he will speak. The committee planned the events announced Monday. The Trump Vance Inaugural Committee unveiled the schedule of events for this weekend, beginning on Saturday with fireworks and a reception at his golf club in Sterling, Virginia. On the same night, Trump's picks for cabinet positions will attend a reception and a dinner with the vice president. And then on Sunday, so it looks like Saturday is going to be later in the afternoon. Let me see here. The village people to perform at Trump inaugural event. And I found out that Carrie Underwood is going to perform. And they've got all this. Remember what I told you about what they're doing in D.C., how they've got like 12-foot fences with spikes on them around the White House. So this is what we got to ask ourselves. As peaceful and as quiet everything looks right now, what is going to happen for that to even be a point of why it took them months to get those fences in place around the White House? Somebody talk to me out there. Think about it. There's only one thing that I can think of that will actually stir up that much hate in people that they will want to do something. Okay, here's one. Security measures and concerns for Trump's inauguration by CBS News. Let's see what they're saying here. Look at all these. I know y'all can't see this. They're talking about the security measures that are taking place. I'm going to share the screen here. At least maybe you could hear it this way. But on the screen, you can see here where they've got these racks going up that's got all the cameras up there on the top with the sensors and 5G bars. You can only imagine the 5 Genesis is going to be taking place. Third leg of our triple crown. Look what he said. Homeland Security is going to be there. So FEMA, remember the dream I had last night about FEMA is having an emergency meeting? Now we know. It is what I was thinking it was. Oh, no, they didn't. What did they just say? Oh, my world. Hold it. We got to hear this again. I think they've called an emergency. Hold on here. Hey, first, let me ask you guys, can you hear this? Can you hear what this guy is saying? If not, I'll read it to you. Leslie, text me and let me know if you can hear what this guy is saying on here. All right, let's see what she said here. You couldn't hear him. You don't hear anything. Okay. No, I mean, before, could you hear him? When I was playing the video, could you hear him? No. Okay. All right. So I will interpret. Okay. So let me change this to the speed and slow it down a little bit. Okay. President Trump is set to make his return to the White House. Alongside Vice President J.D. Vance, as you can see, the preparations that are already underway, including the security measures being put into place. There are a lot of them. The D.C. mayor and federal officials gave an update on that earlier today. Let's take a listen. Many in this room, okay, this is the guy talking, were together 10 days ago to discuss the operational security plans of the 2025 counting and certification of the electoral votes and state funeral for President Carter. These events showcase the teamwork and partnership public safety personnel in the National Capital Region. A week from today, this collaboration will again be on display from the 60th inaugural ceremonies. The upcoming inauguration that will take place on January 20th is the third leg of our Triple Crown. I wonder what he means by that. Pause. Third leg of the Triple Crown. Third leg of the Triple Crown. The Belmont Stakes crown a new champion. The Belmont Stakes, the oldest of the Triple Crown races. What are the parts of the Triple Crown in American horse races? Championship attributed to the 3-0 thoroughbred and a single win. It can't be that. Okay, let's see. Triple Crown in politics. In politics, the Triple Crown is more elusive. Okay, let's see what they mean. Oh. Having a single political party win all three. Last year, the horse American Pharoah became the first since 1978. I'm assuming they're talking about Trump. Now, this article was back in 2016. To achieve the Triple Crown, winning in the Kentucky Derby, the Preakness, and the Belmont Stakes, having a single political party win all three branches in Washington. However, controlling the White House and Congress while having nominated a majority of Supreme Court justices is even rare. Oh, it's because he got the Triple Crown. He won all three. He won the Republicans, the Democrats, and the White House. So he got all three. The Democrats achieved it in 1969, while the Republicans managed it for 4.5 years under George W. Bush before then, had not done it since 1931. Huh. So another, that's what they mean then. That's interesting. I didn't know they called it the Triple Crown. In other words, he has full-blown power. All right, let's continue. The Department of Homeland Security has pre-designated presidential inaugurations as national special security events. Both the election certification and funeral ceremonies were given the same NSSE designation. This designation allows the federal government, along with state and local partners, to use all available resources to implement a comprehensive security plan. The Secret Service authors this Social Security plan and coordinates assets with many of the public safety partners in this room and beyond. The majority of NSSEs are held in and around Washington, D.C., meaning everyone here knows what needs to happen. Regular training, constant communication and the frequency of these events puts us in a position. That kind of worries me. That kind of worries me. when he says frequency like that, because whenever you'll see, like whenever he does his meetings and stuff, the 5 Genesis frequency is sky high. You will see these poles around him that have all of this amplifiers on it with the 5G boxes and all that, because of the surveillance. You know, they need that power. There's probably drones flying around and everything. Because remember what I said about these drones flying over the certain part of the country, you know, a couple of months ago, and they were done in these cities that were going to be smart cities, you know, the big cities. And that's because they probably upped it to 6, 8, or 10 G in order to be able to fly those drones and stuff around. So when he says it here, you know, they're all aware of the frequency, you know, that kind of causes me to pause there. Puts him in a position to succeed. The Joint Congressional Committee and inaugural ceremonies organize the upcoming administration, which thousands will attend. President Biden, Vice President Harris, several former presidents, Supreme Court justices and lawmakers from the House and Senate. Hundreds of thousands of attendees will be on hand to watch the peaceful transfer of power on the Capitol grounds. The public is all also invited. Let's go. Okay. All right. So there you go. Okay, so that's basically what I wanted to tell you guys, is I would like for you to be with me this weekend as we, you know, y'all have been with me from the beginning with him. There's no reason you cannot be with me this weekend. It's the way I see it, because now it's all, everything I have warned about, and I have people tell me this all the time, everything you told us about him is all coming to past. I'm like, yep. And now we're going to see it come in. So I will be taking notes, because I'm imagining I'll see a lot of symbolism and stuff, you know, that'll be, that he will be pushing in there, you know, with his ideology and everything that he's doing. Okay. All right, well, let's pray, and then we'll get started in the Word today. Lord, we thank you so much for your Word. We thank you, Lord, for speaking to us. We thank you for your grace and mercy. And, Lord, we just pray that you anoint me to deliver this Word today, and we honor you and give you glory and praise today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so if everybody would turn your Bible this time to 2 Chronicles 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 14. Now we're going to study another king. The other day we did 2 Chronicles chapter 20, but the Lord led me this morning to another king named Asa. So we're going to talk about Asa today. All right. So Abijah slept with his fathers. Remember, I told you that in the Old Testament, whenever these kings and prophets would die, if they were right in God's eyes, they got to sleep, or had favor in God's eyes, they got to sleep with their fathers. If not, they were left in enemy territory as a disgrace. So when it says here, you know, that this previous king Abijah got to sleep with his fathers, they said, you know, that's a good thing. And they buried him in the city of David. See, he got to be buried in the most epic place. And Asa, his son, reigned in his stead. In his days, the land was quiet 10 years. And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. Remember yesterday we talked about his eyes, God's eyes. I told many stories about my experiences with his eyes. I even told stories about how I felt like when God shines his sun on me real bright, that it's his eyes letting me know that his eyes are upon me. And how when I traveled the country, he always gave me beautiful sunshine like that, where he would shine his favor upon me. Well, then we was looking in scripture later and found all kinds of scripture about it. So, in the eyes of the Lord his God, for he took away the altars of the strange gods and high places and broke down the images and cut down the groves. Pause. Now, everybody, I don't care when you listen to this video, we've got a new king rising in our country. It's not the old one. We're going to see a completely different man. Okay? And he's going to make some serious changes, and there's going to be such a false image out there presented of Christianity and a false revival that they're going to try to convince people. But I want you to know the real God. And we're looking at him right now. There is no way that God is going to bless. See, this is what turned me against Trump. When God showed me his allegiance to LGBT, I knew something's not right here. The way that those NAR leaders that had the ear of the king would partner with him with LGBT, there's no way. Something, God has left the building here, you know, and God took me up there and put me in the enemy's camp to show me what is happening so that I could have an eye view into the truth of what is happening. I mean, being in their meetings, being in their halls, on the top prayer teams of the nation, going in all these high-level buildings, praying through all the buildings, yada, yada, yada. God did all that. He gets all the glory. But the point is I saw for myself what we're looking at, okay? And so what they have done is they have partnered with the beast, and it's a new age Jesus. And I would even tell them in those prayer meetings, because I loved those ladies. I mean, they loved me because they heard about me traveling the country and what I've done. They hear all people that are doing big things. And so when I arrived in D.C., they immediately wanted me on their team, the prayer team, which they said, you know, was anointed from the president, you know, type of deal. Like they did all the president and the top people would contact this group and say, hey, you need to pray. We need to pray about this, pray about, you know. So, I mean, God put me on that team. Okay. So, you know, when I first got there, I was, you know, big time Trump. I mean, I thought I was his prophet. I was there to die for him, basically. You know, like a warrior fighting for her king. That's what I thought I was doing. And so as I'm praying with these people, and we would pray about different issues about Trump, and I begin, when, you know, because I did the U.S. Capitol for 3 months, I was the captain. And then God promoted me in the White House and put me as the captain over it. Well, when I got in there and I started seeing this LGBT stuff, I would tell the team, y'all, something's not right here. You know, And they'd be like, I know, man, we don't like it either. We got to pray. You know, because they have this belief that these leaders that all of them are still with, that somehow there's an enemy in the camp. You know, there's always another reason why. It's never on Trump. Oh, he's getting wrong advice, or, oh, you know, somebody's lying to him, or, you know, like, and I started to figure out, you know, after being in his presence, like we talked about Elon, his presence, after being in Trump's presence so many times and realizing this man is so powerful, it would almost knock you over. It's so, when he walks in a room, he literally sucks the air out of the room, because there's just something about his aura. He's just so powerful that, you know, I met somebody, you know, come to think of it, now I got to tell you this story. When I was in Bible college and God sent me up there, I went up there with a dime. That's my dime story. And I went up there and I had one thing left after God wanted the house back. So I gave up my beautiful brand new house. He wanted my beautiful, gorgeous furniture I had that was my 12-seater German table with the beautiful cloth seats and the intricate designs with the 3 china cabinets and, you know, just gorgeous beyond belief, gorgeous. And God wanted it all back. So I had nothing when I went up to Columbus, Ohio, except boxes with me and my son's clothes and stuff in it and my memories and my mother's inheritance ring, which was a diamond ring. It had one big diamond in the middle and 10 around it. She gave it to us girls, even though she hadn't died yet. Okay, so I go up there with this diamond ring. So I told you how God opened up the door and I got an apartment and God started giving us furniture, you know, so the blessings began because of the obedience. Remember I told you, obedience is where your wealth is. So I'm sitting up there in the first service I'm in, and I was so intimidated by this big church. Because remember, I'm just a country girl. Never really been to huge churches, you know, and this one's like 6,000 people, massive global, you know, with the big, you know, computer screens or TV screens up there and everything. And so my first service, the Lord speaks to me. Give Mama Parsley your diamond ring. I said, what? This has got to be the devil. You old devil, shut up. Ain't no way God want me to get rid of my mother's inheritance. Next Sunday. Give Mama Parsley your diamond ring. You know, it's a little more forceful. And I was like, I know this is the devil. I'm telling you, shut up in the name of Jesus. You know, and I'm rebuking this thing. There's no way God would want my mother's inheritance ring. So the next Sunday, this guy's up there. His name is Nasar Siddiqui. He is known as a prosperity gospel preacher, but he is legit. This man, he got up there and he said, now listen here, people. When God tells you to give away an unusual thing, it's because God has an unusual blessing for you. So the Lord spoke to me again. He said, I said, give Mama Parsley a diamond ring. All right, now Mama Parsley was Rob Parsley, which was the head pastor up there. It was his mother. Now Rob Parsley, as he rose in rank and whatnot, he took care of his mama. See, his mama was his backbone, and he tells everybody. You know, she was his backbone. She was a prayer warrior, and he said he had never been successful or done anything without her prayers. So he honored her, and when he got money, he built her a mansion right beside his mansion. He took care of her and her husband, you know, his father. So the father had died, so all that was left was her. Well, I'd never met her, but Brock, since he had already been in Bible college for a year, you know, had told me about her and everything. And I knew she was called Mama Parsley. Everybody just called her Mama Parsley. So I knew of her, but I haven't seen her yet. You know, I've only been there a few weeks. And so I went home and I told my boys. Now, remember that my one son was going to be a senior in high school. So the school was $4,500. So I didn't have the money to put him in there, but God already told me he was going to pay it. So I went to the school and told them, you know, look, God told me he's going to pay my son's tuition, but he does play football. And is there any way that y'all would go ahead and lay him on the team so he can get ready for the fall and just believe God with me that God's going to pay this tuition? And they loved it. You know, and I told him how God had brought me up there with nothing but a dime, and he's been providing for me, so I know he's going to do it. So they held hands with me, you know, the principal and everything, and they believed God with me that God's going to really do this, $4,500. So he began playing on the, practicing with the football team and everything. So in other words, we moved forward by faith, even though we didn't see the answer yet. So, and then my son, you know, he is like the sole winner of the Bible college. You know, my son Brock is just like me. I mean, he's an outgoing, I mean, he's me to a T, you know. And so he was turning that Bible college upside down just like he did his high school. And so they had an awards thing, and he won second place for sole winner of the year. They do these Bible college awards. It's pretty cool. But anyway, so these are the boys I'm talking to is the point I'm trying to tell you. So I told them after that third service, I said, man, I said, boys, because remember my daughter was living with her father, so she wasn't there with me. I had to leave her to obey God. That was hard. And so I said, boys, can you believe that I think that God is asking me to give Mama Parsley, that I've never even met, my mother's inheritance ring? Both of them looked at me like, Mom, if God's telling you to do it, Mom, you got to do it. I'm like, but isn't that the weirdest thing? I mean, what does somebody need with a diamond ring, you know? And so I said, all right, Lord, I'll do it. Okay, this is weird, but I'll do it. All right, so I go to church at night. And I give one of those offering envelopes, and I write on the offering envelope, I said, Lord, I am believing you to pay my son's tuition, $4,500 to get in this prep school, okay? Because I wanted him in the school with me. That was driving the, you know, the school bus and stuff like that. So I said, I want him here with me. So I said, I'm believing you for $4,500. And then I thought about it, and I added something. I said, also, I'm adding, I want Brock's tuition paid. His tuition of $1,100. And so I put that ring in that envelope, and I prayed. I said, all right, Lord, I'm giving you this diamond ring back. You know, and I'm believing you to take care of us up here. You brought us up here, Lord, you know. So I want you to know we all did worship and whatnot. Now, I'm sitting about 10 or 12 rows back, you know, from the front. And, you know, I don't know if you've ever seen Rob Parsley's platform, but it's like so huge. Well, here comes Mama Parsley over there from the far right. And she walks in, and it's like, wow. Because up until this point, I've never met somebody so powerful, you know. But her power was in the spirit, okay. But I've never met somebody of that magnitude yet. And she walked up to the platform, and they stopped everything for her. And she walked up there, and they handed her the microphone. She pointed out in the audience, and she went like this. I wish y'all could see me right now. Oh, I am still sharing the screen. Let me take that off. Sorry. Okay. She went to the platform. She grabbed the microphone. She goes, pointed out in the audience. And she goes, I don't know who this is for, but I was in my recliner at 4 o'clock today. Now, that 4 o'clock was is something between me and the Lord. He wakes me up at 4 o'clock and talks to me, yada, yada. And she says, I don't know who this is for, but God talked to me at 4 o'clock today and told me I had to come tonight and tell somebody, you better give me that diamond ring. I about passed out. Both of my boys, now I have one boy on one side of me and one boy on the other side of me. And both of them at the same time spun their head to look at me like, bam. And the other one's like, bam. I'm like, I know. And then she goes, do I look like I need diamond rings? And she held up her hands. She had diamond rings on every hand, every finger but one. There was one that did not have a ring on it. Because God told her, there's somebody there that has a ring for you. And I was like, yes, Lord. She goes, you better give it to me because God has something big for you. And she just hands on the mic back, goes down front and sits down. So they continue with the service, you know. And I feel like God had put a bullseye on my back, you know what I'm saying? So after the service, you know, they had everybody line up around the church. You know, they was doing their prayer line where people walked through and everybody prayed for them and whatnot. But I sat there because I knew in my spirit, it is time for me to give her this ring. So Brock told me, he goes, Mama, you might as well go get in the line. She ain't never going to see you. I said, well, I just need to pray. All right. So Brock went on and got in the line. So this is what I said to the Lord. This is the kind of relationship I have with God. I said, Lord, now you know I can't just throw her this diamond ring. You're going to have to open the door for me to give it to her. I don't know what to do here. Honey, as soon as I said that, here come her security guard. Because her and Pastor Parsley have to have security guards because they have threats on their life all the time. I learned that when I was there. It's a real thing. So anyway, he walks up to me and he goes, ma'am, Mama Parsley wants to see you. And I was like, oh, my heart fell before. I'm going before the king, you know. So I went over there and she turned around. I about passed out. I'm not kidding. The power of this woman was so amazing. I almost passed out because she was like a general. If I could really say a general in the kingdom, it would be her. And she used to travel. You know, she's dead now. She died about a year or two after we did this thing. And so I believe that I got her anointing. But anyway, she turned around and I about passed out. I was like, you know, trying to catch my breath. And I said, she goes, the Lord told me to see you. You know, she's very authoritative like this, you know. And I said, ma'am, I said, I am 36 years old. And the Lord told me to give my house back and to give away everything I have. I come down here with nothing but a dime. I said, but I have one thing left and the Lord wants me to give it to you, ma'am. So I handed her the envelope that was sealed. And she said, she looked at that envelope and saw, Lord, I'm believing you to pay $4,500. Lord, I'm believing you to pay $1,100. Right? And I gave her that ring. She opened up the envelope and pulled that ring out and put it on that finger that had the missing ring. And I'm going to tell you, not only did it fit her finger, but those rings that were around her was the perfect match. It was like God, that ring was designed just for her from the very beginning. And she went like this. She goes, receive. And she put her hand on me. I go flying back. I mean, it was like a bolt of lightning hit me. I was like, wow. And so I didn't know what happened then. But I'm going to tell you what happened. God had me give her my natural inheritance, which was a possession, a diamond ring. And he gave me her mama anointing. I didn't know it at the time, but I started Bible college, I guess, about 6 weeks later. And all of a sudden, now this Bible college had like 500 students. And, of course, I was the oldest one there. And they just started all calling me Mama. It was just so natural. Mama June, Mama June. And those kids would come up to me and they would tell me their sins. They would say, Mama, I slept with somebody last night. I want to quit Bible college. I'm so ashamed. I can't believe I did it. I got in the flesh. And I would hold them. I told y'all about these mama hugs. And I would hold them and I'd say, no, you're not either. And then I'd tell them, you're going to get back up, soldier. Yes, you are. You're going to tell that devil where to go, you know. So I helped them to have that backbone to continue. And then when they graduated, I got to see them walk down that aisle. And it was a very beautiful thing. Okay, so now that you know the story of the diamond ring, 2 weeks later, my son was working for this guy at Hobby Lobby. He was working for Hobby Lobby. And this is my middle son, Andrew, the one that was needing the $4,500. I'm just telling you how God came through after I obeyed and did what he told me to do. He got that job at Hobby Lobby, and the manager of the store took him to lunch one day. And he said, I just got to ask you something. He said, how are you practicing at this prep school that's the most expensive one in this state? And y'all have no money. How are they letting you do this? And he told him the story of his mother. He said, well, my mother, God told her to come and go to Bible college. And he told her he's going to pay it. We don't know how, but we're just believing God to pay it. So the next day, he took him to lunch again. But this time, he took him straight to the school. He walked up there to the school. He said, how much does this boy owe you? They said, well, sir, the tuition's $4,500. He said, no, I want to know, does he have uniforms? Yes. How much are the uniforms? $400. All right, does he have senior fees? Yes. Does he have any other type of fees? Yes, 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 yes. That man paid everything having to do with my son for his entire senior year. Yes, he did. So my son, and then takes him out, buys him a car, buys him a whole wardrobe of clothes, and he brings the car home and he shows me. I'm like, what just happened here? Wait, I only put on the envelope $4,500, but now you got a car, you got a wardrobe of clothes. God is too good here, you know. And then he said, and Mama, he wants you to come to dinner tonight. He wants all the family to come to dinner tonight. You know, it's just me and him and Brock. I'm like, okay. So we go to dinner at his house. Very fancy house, you know. He's a very wealthy man. And so we're sitting there at dinner with this guy, you know, and I'm like, sir, I just got to ask you, why did you do this for my son? He said, I'll tell you why. He said, now being up here in the north, this is funny. He said, I have never met a kid like yours. He said, when he came in for a job and he was addressing me as, yes, sir, yes, sir. Yes, sir. You know, and he said, sir, and he was so respectful. And his demeanor, he said, I had to hire him. And he said, and then it let me know after watching him, he must have a really good mama. So he said, I took him to lunch and I was asking him about his mama. And then he told me what you was going through and I prayed about it. And the Lord told me, I want you to take care of him his entire senior year. Now, the reason that is important is because of the 4 o'clock conversation I had with God the day he called me. I was in the prayer closet at 4 o'clock in the morning. God said, I have called you to go to World Harvest Bible College. I said, what? He said it again. I said, I am 36 years old. I mean, this is the craziest thing. You're wanting me. you just gave me this house. What am I going to do with this house? He's like, I want it back. He said, give away all your furniture and follow me. I'm like, what? So the next day at 4 o'clock, he said, I said, I want you to go to Bible college. And I said, all right, Lord, all right, listen here now. I was researching that Bible college, and I saw they have a school. They have a school that my son could go to that'd be right next to the Bible college. I want him with me. I don't want him going to no Columbus schools, Lord. You know, I'm having this conversation because remember, God told me he's my husband now, so I'm talking to him like a husband. I said, Lord, now listen. That school is $4,500. So you know I don't have this money, Lord. So if you will pay that, I will know this is you. So there you go. I'm putting a fleece out there because I just read in the Bible yesterday about that king, and he wanted to know it was you telling him to do something. So he put a fleece out, and you honored that fleece. So I said, I'm asking you, Lord, for this fleece of $4,500. So that weekend, I visited the Bible college, and this woman prophesied. You know, God opened the door for me to go up there. I was sitting at the dinner table, and this woman looked at me. I didn't know this woman. And she goes, thus saith the Lord, I have called you to come up here to go to Bible college, and I'm going to pay your son's stuff. Don't worry about it. The next day, I'm at the altar. A woman walks up to me I don't know, and she goes, thus saith the Lord, I have called you to come up here to go to Bible college. I'm going to pay for everything. Don't worry about it. Yes. Two confirmations. I go back. Yes. So here I am. Bam. Now back to the future. All right. So now y'all know the story of how I got there. So my son, this guy, we're at this dinner with this guy. And he says, so I just had to pay for everything. And I'm like, well, sir, I just can't thank you enough. I mean, for you to even buy him a car and, you know, to buy him a whole wardrobe of clothes, I'm just beyond blessed. And he said, well, I ain't done. Y'all ready for this one? I hope y'all like my stories. He said, I ain't done. He said, follow me. Now, listen, I'm talking to all you women out there. This was my another Cinderella moment. I've had a few of them with the Lord. This is one of them. I told you I had to give up that kitchen table because I am a cook. I love to cook. I love to have guests at the house. I love to entertain. You know, I'm that kind of person. So the kitchen table and your kitchen is so very important, you know, aesthetics wise and everything when you're entertaining and whatnot. And so that's why I loved my kitchen table. It was the talk of the town type of deal. So he takes me to a furniture store. I walked in and he said, he does his hand like this and kind of moves it around. He says, I want you to pick out any kitchen table you want. I said, what? He said, yes, pick out any kitchen table you want. Don't worry about the price. I'm like, what? So I'm looking around. Well, my kids are older now, see. We're in Bible college. Things are a lot different. You know, when I had that old wood table, we would all play spoons on it. I don't know if y'all ever played spoons. But we used to have a blast. We had to have something pretty solid like that German stuff. But now, I can have glass. That's what I was thinking. My kids are older. I'm in Bible college. I am going to get me marble and glass because I already had it in my heart. I had this apartment. It was very nice. They had one big open room, the living room, the dining room, the kitchen. So I said, I want a marble and glass table. It was the most expensive one there. And I told him, I said, I want that one. Now listen, I'm going to tell all you people something. When God wants to bless you, don't think small. You get what your heart's desire is. And I did. I said, I want that one. And he said, okay, and this is what he says. He says, ma'am, he said, this lady has an apartment, you know, that has like this open room where her living room. So do you have like a coffee table and end tables that would match that table, ma'am? Oh, well, we just happen to have that exact kind. Honey, he bought me a coffee table, end tables, lamps, and wall fixtures. What? Wait, God, hold it. About 4 months ago, did you tell me to give up all my furniture and told me to come up here? And now you're giving me something so much better. I cannot believe this. This is you, God? Yes, that was God. So I went home that night with all this furniture. So then, let me tell you how God blessed Brock. His was a week after that. So Brock, you know, being as active as he is, like me, and involved in everything, he was one of the leaders in the youth group, which had 5,000 youth. We're talking a massive youth group, okay? Because they had the best youth group leader in all the world, of which Paula White stole. It's public, so I'm not talking about this. It really happened. She stole him from Rob Parsley. Everybody was crying about it. It was a sad event. But anyway, so at this youth group, Brock was the leader. So they did a youth camp that summer, and they called it Survivor. So they had 10 teams broken up into 10 people, okay? And they, I think it was 10, so there's like 100 that went. But they all had to compete all week like Survivor games. Well, my kids are all athletic. I was a cheerleader in high school and a dancer growing up, yada, yada. And their father was an all-state football player. These kids got good genes, you know what I'm saying? They're fighters. So that was the Brock was in his element, let me tell you. So anywho, so he had 10 kids that he had to, you know, really push up, you know, to get them to compete and everything. Well, Brock's personality did. So they won. The grand prize was $1,000. So each of them got $100 each. So we go to church, you know, after they all get back and everything. On a Wednesday night, a woman finds me in the sanctuary. And she goes, "Ma'am, I am a doctor from Cincinnati. I am a plastic surgeon. And I want to tell you a story." She said, "My son was on the brink of disaster. I mean, that boy has been arrested doing drugs. We were so done with him." And she said, "We, as a last-ditch effort, sent him to this camp, believing, because my husband and I are both Christians. We were believing God that he would get saved and get healed of all this. And he was on your son's team." She said, "Ma'am, I just got to tell you what a phenomenal son you have." She said, "That boy has changed my son's life. He come back home so on fire for God. He began walking up down the street, ministering to our neighbors and everything." And she said, "My husband and I want to bless your son so much." She goes, "Where is he at?" So we went and found Brock. Well, you know, he was way back there in the youth group, because that church was so big. It was like walking in, you know, it was like walking a mile to get to the other end. But we found Brock. And she told Brock, she goes, "Brock, now my husband and I, we want to really bless you for what you did for our son. So we want to pay your tuition through the Bible college." He's like, "Well, thank you." So there it was. Bam, God just paid his tuition. So then she said, "And I want to take you and your brother somewhere." So she took them to, listen to this, you want to hear something crazy? She took them to Lifeway Christian Bookstore. Now, picture this if this was you. She took them to Lifeway Christian Bookstore and said, "You got 30 minutes to buy anything you want in this store. Go." Yes, she did. They said they took them carts and was right. I told my kids, well, yes, I did. They took them carts and was running up and down the aisle. They were throwing Bibles and shirts and all kinds of stuff. They got finished with that shopping spree. Oh, yeah. I forgot how much money they said it was. But that woman, she was a part of Lifeway Bookstore or something, and she had all these credits or something. She, you know, got it all. So they got a free shopping spree at Lifeway Christian Bookstore. And then she paid for Brock's honeymoon. Bought him a cabin in the mountains and all this kind of stuff. It was really something. But now you know the story of me standing in front of greatness, you know, going back to this book here about standing in front of Mama Parsley. Now, remember, it was that same woman, Mama Parsley, that when school had started, that asked Pastor Parsley to bring me up on the platform to tell the story of what God did to pay all this and to do all this. And I froze because I had an ugly dress on. And I said, I refused. And the Lord, you know, he whipped me 7 years later in the prayer closet when I surrendered everything after I graduated my master's degree. And he hired me. He told me, he said, I'm your boss. I want you to work for me. Everything you've learned, I'm going to use for my kingdom. And that's what he's done. But standing out there in the prayer closet, he told me, he said, don't you remember what you did to Rob Parsley? And he brought it back to my memory. I said, but Lord, I had an ugly dress on. That thing was so ugly. I mean, ugly is not the word for it. Because I never, he told me I was vain. And I never thought of myself as vain because I'm a simple person, I consider. You know, that just wears a little eye makeup and that's it, maybe a little blush, you know. But he told me that me thinking my image was more important than his image. He said he could have killed me that day. He said, I've killed people for not giving me glory before. So he let me know I was teetering on disaster with that decision. Needless to say, I sat out there and repented greatly. And now that I look back on it and I think about Mama Parsley, how proud she was when she read that envelope and saw the faith that I had. That I had already put my son in that school and already believed that God was going to do it. And then to hear how he did it, she heard all this stuff. And she wanted me to get up. You know, this is what I think. I think about what I lost. I would have probably gotten a whole new home that day. Because I'm going to tell you what probably would have happened. If I would have went up there and suffered my face and give God the glory, that church, the people in that church are wealthy. They would have probably bought me a house and a car, and I would have been set up for life. I mean, who knows the blessing I missed? I mean this, and I'm greatly grieving it still. What I would have gotten to be a public display to the entire world of faith. When you obey God and come to Bible college and you do all this and God does all this, this is the reward that you see what I mean? I lost, I no telling what I gave up because I was so concerned about my own image. But see, God told me then, he said, I'm going to tell you this right now. He said, you are going on global television and I'm telling you right now, don't you ever refuse to get behind that camera again because of your looks. And I haven't. No matter how big I am, how poor I am, how old I am, no matter where I'm at, I have always obeyed him in that because of what he did to me in the prayer closet and my greatly repenting that day. Because when I saw myself and what I had done, I cried so hard I couldn't hardly breathe. I was so sad at myself. I was mad at myself. I was sorry to the Lord that I had hurt him and the way that I put myself first before him hurt me more than anything. But so from that point forward in 2013 up until 2025, all these years. You know, I have kept my word to the Lord, and I have been behind the camera all the way to the White House, the United Nations. It was global, exactly like he said. And I never relented. I can honestly say that before the King right now. And I am thankful that I did. You know, it didn't give me reward on this side of eternity, like I've not seen the promised land. But I know that when I get to heaven, I'll see what that did. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? Like Brock was explaining in the book, you know, we may not see it, the reward of what you did, but you will when you get over there. Okay, so going back to the book here. Now, when it says here, and Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God, for he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places and broke down the images and cut down the groves. I just want to tell you something. There's a couple of points about that I want to tell you. Trump, this is a warning. When he is going to try to display this grand revival of going back to the Hebrew roots, going back to Noahide laws, going back to Abraham, you know, because of his ecumenical loyalty to the Pope and all this, but where they are coming together in agreement in the name of a God, not Jesus. This is what showed me their farce. Because they did not give up their perversion. They didn't. And that's God's not, he's not in this. Okay. When you see Trump telling everybody to go, you know, that we've got this great revival and that he got saved and probably speaking in tongues and everything, this is how you're going to know right here. Has he turned? This is what real Christianity is, people. They're telling everybody even Elon is saved. I mean, what a farce. It's a turning, like King Asa here. Are they going to get rid of their idols? Are they going to stop partnering with perversion? Are they going to do what is right before God? Even if it makes man mad? That's what Asa did. So don't tell me you've turned until you show me you've turned. What are you going to repent to a holy God in front of the entire world for the partnerships you've made with perversion? You can't say that you're going to be a blessed nation without addressing what you've done. This is how God is. I mean, even in the Old Testament, let's just leave out the New Testament. Even in the Old Testament, you had to answer to God for what you've done. And you see what I'm saying? Because right here, for he took away the altars of the strange gods. Are you going to get rid of the ecumenical movement? Are you going to tell all these Hindus that you allowed to come to the Republican National Convention and stand up there and spew their vomit of their gods unto the Christians out there in the audience, these pastors that have given their life for the call of the Lord, and you're going to spew all of these other vomit of their gods and their curses? Are you going to get rid of those strange gods, the high places? The lies and everything, and broke down the images. What about your own image? Are you going to repent for acting like your God, just like with, what's his name that said he was saved? But he calls himself Yah, which is another word, another version of Yah, calls himself a God. Wrote songs about it, stood up and said all that vomit. But yet you get saved and you never address that to the Christians where you repent that you said you was our God. If you was a Muslim, you would. You don't degrade their God and not answer for that, you know. And cut down the groves. We're looking in 2 Chronicles chapter 14 about King Asa. He was good in God's eyes, and the word of God is telling you why he was good in God's eyes. Because he stood up for his God and got rid of all things that offended his God. So when you talk about cutting down the groves, here's the second warning I want to give you. The V. Okay? When I tell you that you're going to have to renounce it, you're going to have to reject what you installed. Okay? You're going to have to speak it with your mouth and confess that you sinned when you did that thing. You know, because I told you, out of all the people I've told this, only one has done it. Because of pride, see? They won't do it because of pride. Well, pride is the number one killer. You have to reject it. Why? Because look at this scripture right here. When it says cut down the groves, the first thing that come in my spirit this morning when I was in my little prayer closet is the benefits, the groves, the benefits that you get from partnering with the beast. The groves, your provision that you have from the beast that you like. Are you going to cast it off and say, I do not want your provision? And I'm not talking about Social Security. I'm talking about people that took the V and have the benefits thereof. When they took the beast coding system within their bodies, they're going to have to reject it. I can't say it enough. Because to this day, they're still requiring it. Did you not hear Miss Rosemary yesterday give her testimony about what's happening in California at these FEMA camps? Did you not hear her? Why are they still requiring? Because they're still getting benefits today. You're still in the community, You're still there. You're still receiving of their grove. You better reject it, renounce it, and cast it off, and do not receive from that grove anymore. Because here's what's coming. You got Elon in here. Elon is mowing it down right now. You know, I use that term a lot, mowing it down, because he's moving like lightning. Already getting everything in plan for deregulations. This is where our country has set up these laws to protect humanity on different areas and in different departments. But him and Vivek, the double V. Did you catch anything, Papa?
Say what?
Did you catch anything?
No.
Okay, I love you. I'm still on the prayer call. Okay, so okay. He just got back from the field. He was out hunting this morning. But anyway, what was I saying? Leslie, text me what I was saying before he talked to me. I'm sorry, Brad. It completely left me because I was in the zone, but when he talked to me. All right. Well, I guess I'll forget it then, because I cannot remember where I was going. But all right, let's see. Rosemary FEMA counts. No, I already said that. Oh, Elon regulations. Okay, thank you, sis. Thank you, Miss Jody. Thank you, Monica. All right, so going back to the Elon with the regulations, that's what I was saying, is he's mowing it down right now because they have to get all of these rules that our country has put in place for our good to protect humanity, like with food or with technology and all that stuff. They're changing and gutting our government to set up for this New World Order, United Nations agenda. Remember what I told you earlier in the call about the common sense, okay? Because they brag that they're the common sense presidency, but it's a United Nations deal. And it's because the United Nations, now see, y'all got to remember, I've been covering the United Nations ever since I've been covering Trump. I went to the United Nations with Trump, got approved through the United Nations, got the credentials and everything. Cost me thousands of dollars to go, and God paid it. So the point that I'm saying is that the problem with the United Nations about this New World Order transition, all of this that's been happening in the last 5 years has been nothing but the transition into the new order. This is called the Great Reset. Okay. Their biggest problem has been regulations of countries because they have to go by law. So what they have done is for the last 40 years through the World Economic Forum's Young Leaders Program is they have raised up all these leaders to take over countries, to take over governorships, to take over all important positions, much less partnering with the Pope, you know, with the Jesuits and all that kind of stuff. So in other words, they've got everybody in position now, okay? And so that's what they're doing, is using Elon to go in there and gut everything. And him partnering with Vivek is a telltale sign, because Vivek is the double V's. Remember I told you, call that the double V, because he is from India, which the country India is the one that has rolled out the global ID. They were the testing country. So now they're bringing India over to us to implement it here to make it global, because we are the AI capital of the world. That's why we have Elon's supercomputer, the Colossus, here in my town. It's here in the next town over, Memphis. But they have it here, and Elon wants to build more. These people want to build more in the United States, and Trump's even said, we're going to be the crypto capital of the world, and we're going to be the electric capital of the world. So basically, they're just going to kill the United States. Because in order to receive this much power, they're going to have to use our resources. This is why everything is dying, you know. Because of what they're doing, they bought caves. They're down in caves with these supercomputers because it's cool down there, and they need them for their engines because they get so hot processing all this data. The Colossus computer that's here by Elon is the main one working with the CDC. It's the one that's taking all the data from the neural systems of the world, of the humans. And they're going to be using that with crypto, because remember, it all works together through the Microsoft 666 patent. And this is how people are going to be paid in the future. So as I was saying about the V, This is the reason it's still being pumped out there, because it is the app that needs to be installed in order for all the other of part 2 and 3 to work, which is what Elon's role is now. Okay. And do y'all not think it's funny that Melania, now that he's going into his second term, is now coming out as an extremely liberal woman? She's showing her true colors. Why has she waited till now to let everybody know she's for abortion and everything? Why now? She did an interview the other day. I don't believe like my husband. You know, why is she doing that now? Because they've got so many Christians bamboozled in their mind, blinded by loyalty, and they'll follow her. It's really sick the way they're doing that. But anyways, going back to the scripture. For he took away the altars of the strange gods as King Asa, the high places, broke down the high places also is like witchcraft, it's a cult. You know, they use high places. This is why when God places prophets, and this is just an interesting fact for you to know. This is what I learned across this country, because God put me with a lot of prophets and apostles across the country. God puts them over cities in high places, because these witches, and you'll notice like a lot of the what do they call them? Masonic halls. Notice where they're located in cities. Notice where a lot of the Methodist churches are located. See, Methodists, you need to know this about the Methodist denomination. That is Masons on a stick. When I was in Washington, D.C., their main headquarters is next to the Supreme Court, United Methodist. And I used to work for them, the United Methodist Publishing House in Nashville in 1990. And, but their building, their main headquarters, is next to the Supreme Court and next to the U.S. Capitol in a V formation pointing towards the Capitol. You just cannot make it up. And then they've got the Senate houses behind them and the House houses in front of them. The House buildings. The Library of Congress is next to Supreme Court. But anyway, they are there, and their building looks Masonic. You look on the outside of their building, their symbols are horrible. You go inside their building, and they've got all those Masonic pillars and everything. I mean, this is their headquarters. And I'll have to testify this, that in May of 2019, when the biggest bill, this was the thing that began to open my eyes to Trump, was the H.R. 5 LGBT bill going before Congress on this Friday. And I was, you know, doing my regular, you know, journalism through D.C. walk. And I was walking by the United Methodist building, and I saw a bunch of ecumenical priests that were out there with a big sign that we support H.R. 5. Preachers, ministers support H.R. 5 with their building pointing towards the vomitous U.S. Capitol, of which I had done 3 months of service in that building, praying and praying and praying against this witchcraft, right? So I'm thinking, the war is on, baby. I see you, you old foul devil, moving in these preachers. You know, that's what I was thinking, because I'd already been battling that big old ugly foul devil. I knew what he was doing. So I walked over there with my credentials from the White House, and I said, I'm a White House correspondent, and I'd like an interview with your leader of this group. Oh, okay, yes, ma'am, hold on, hold on. So they run over and get these two leaders, and they said, oh, the news media's here, they want to interview you. So I set up my little tripod, you know, and went live. And they walk over there, and I said, hey, you know, I said, I'm a Christian news organization, and you know, I'm just kind of wondering, what are you guys here for today? Would you mind telling us? Oh, yes, ma'am, you know. You know, all of us pastors, you know, we've all got together and decided, you know, that we really do support this H.R. 5 bill. And, you know, we just really want our congressmen and stuff, you know, to vote for this and everything and yada, yada. So I'm sitting there listening to this, and I am praying under my tongue to the Holy Spirit. Because I had to rely on him the whole time I was up there to tell me what to do. And I had, because he was my superpower. Remember I told you guys about how I teach these young kids, the Holy Spirit is your superpower. He, you know, you have an agent on the inside of you, you know, that's there at all times ready to help you. So I'm praying under my breath, what kind of question do I ask him, Lord? Help me, you know. And so I asked that man. I said, now, sir, I just got to know. I said, you know what the Bible says about homosexuality and how it is an abomination to our God. You know, what would you say to Christians out there that do not understand why you would want our country? You know, and I just come out and said it. That man's face turned red, like five different shades of red. He was, because God got him. That's exactly, he was confronted right there with this evil that he had partnered with. He goes, well, I just believe that the Lord is love. You know, I just believe that he died so that we'd all have love for each other. And he took off, frankly ran away from me. So I ended it. I ended it. But my audience was rolling because they saw, you know, what they was doing. But anyway, so the United Methodist Church, that's who you're dealing with. You know. All right, let's get back to the word over here. Okay. So you understand what I'm saying about cutting down the growth. So you got a king coming in office now. His father just died. So he's saying, all right, God, I'm getting our country in order. I'm getting rid of all occult. I'm getting rid of all idols that we have raised against you. I'm getting rid of all ways we've made money that has offended you. Bam. That's what that is. I'm getting rid of all the altars of the strange gods that we have erected in this country that hurt you, Lord. This is what I'm telling you about these people that say, oh, you know, we're doing this at the U.S. Mall, you know, the National Mall, and we're saying, you know, we're going to return. This was, what's his name? Jonathan Cahn, 2020. Biggest global repentance revival out there at the mall. You know, and you had thousands of Christians there just wanting to turn to God. And they all have a good heart. This is why I'm telling you, these people involved in MAGA, you can't be mad at them. Because in their heart, they really do want the country to turn around. They really do love the Lord. These people are, really do. They want to please the Lord. They're not in something that they believe is diabolical. It's the leaders that are diabolical. And that's what I've been exposing from day one about NAR and telling people, you don't see it, but this is what these people are involved in. But you know what? I warned from 2020, and guess what happened? 5 years later, they have taken probably 90% of the people over there. It is so sad. But we go to the event in 2020, and what do they say? All you people need to repent. All you Christians, you know. It's your fault all this stuff has been allowed in here. And then they have like 20 rabbis up there doing their Kabbalah hands and their their curses over all them people in the audience. You know me, I was over there pleading the blood. I was like, what a forest on an everlasting stick. But what I've learned is when they say return, they're talking about Trump, the king, returning. They didn't get up there and repent for their perversion and the strange gods that they had partnered with Trump because he was in the White House. They didn't address the idols of the country. They didn't address the sin of the country. Why? Because ecumenism does not deal with doctrine. They won't deal with sin. Why won't they deal with sin? Because it would be a conviction to the ones that they have partnered with that are doing it. So that's why they'll say, oh, we're getting together in the name of God. But they're not the real God. This with Asa is the real God. And Jesus is the same way. He is God. Jesus is the face of God. He's the Son of God. He expects holiness as well. So, like I said, even if they left off the New Testament, even if they went back to the Old Testament and threw Jesus out the window, and they said, oh, we want to go back to the Torah, and we want to do what is right by the Torah. Okay, do it. I want to see it. Are you going to tear down your idols? Are you going to even honor the Torah? No, you ain't honoring no Torah because you are in Kabbalah. It's a total different God. And I hope you guys know this because Jesus is holy. God is holy. Let's go down to verse 4 now. So Asa commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to do the law and the commandment. Also, he took away out of all the cities of Judah, bam, 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 what did he take out? High places and images. So he got rid of the old devils in his house, in his house, which we have to do too. Get rid of all idols and stuff out of your house, all the devils, all of that occultic symbolism and stuff, get it out. Now look what happened next. And the kingdom was quiet before him. Boy, that hit me like a ton of bricks this morning. Because I'm going to tell y'all, I had a revelation about something this morning. My house has been quiet. And I've been feeling guilty about it. So, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking something's wrong here. You know, I have peace here on the farm. Something's wrong. You know, really is what I was thinking. But after reading this, I realized, no, this is your blessing, daughter. This is your blessing. You're in the garden. There is peace here. There's peace and there's rest. I was like, wow, you really have taken me back to the garden, Lord. I mean, what a blessing. That's just a revelation I had. Verse 6. And he built fences. So, and the point of that was Asa's blessing because he threw away the idols, because he honored God, because he walked in holiness. His town, his community was blessed. And he built fenced cities in Judah. And for the land had rest. Isn't that something? I think about, you know, Dennis, every day he thinks about this land. He cultivates this land. He prunes the trees. You know, even yesterday, he was going out and making paths, cleaning out paths so we can drive the truck around through the farm. You know, we have 12 acres here. And I think about when I first came to this farm and I looked out and it was nothing but a forest. That's all you could see. brush growed up vines over all the trees. I mean, it had a house on it, but the guy said, ma'am, you're going to have to tear the house down. It's just, nobody's lived there in 30 years. It's just old, you know, collapsed. So I didn't see nothing. But the Lord spoke to me while I was standing there looking at this nothing. And the Lord said, I'm going to give you the Garden of Eden. I said, what? Now, this is when I was single, remember? And I had been, you know, wanting to buy a house all that 6 months prior. I was like, what? And then I drove to town, and a woman called me. She said, I was in prayer, and the Lord told me to tell you something. He's going to give you the Garden of Eden. So I picked up the phone and called the man selling this place. I said, I want this place. So I got it sight unseen. Couldn't see anything about this place. But the word of the Lord is what I moved on, right? So now we've been here 2.5 years. And now I'm looking out my window that he made for me. Because I'm in a shed, you know. It's different having an office in a shed, but one of the downfalls of having an office in a shed is that the ceilings are low, so the door is a short door for some reason. But anyway, so we could not find a storm door to go there, so he built me one. It is pretty cool. He just put police, I forgot what kind of plastic that is in the middle. Fiberglass or whatever, and he, you know, built wood around it and made me a door. But I love it because at least I can see outside, and that's what I wanted. But now I can look outside and I see all the trees that he's cut down and pruned, and you know, he's got stacks of wood all over this farm, you know, to burn next year. But it just looks so different now, you know, because the farmer, God gave me a farm. I'd say about almost 8 weeks after I bought this place. I bought this place single. Didn't even, you know, wasn't even talking to Dennis at the time, you know. But now he's given me a farmer. And now he's went out and he's made this place beautiful, you know. But I think about these trees that were entangled with vines. They were so tight on these trees. It was so sad. It had killed a bunch of their limbs and all this. And, you know, he's went through there and he has cut down all. He has allowed these trees to breathe, you know. And I think about that scripture that says, you know, the trees of the field will clap their hands. And that's how God does us. See, he sees those vines that have wrapped us around and choking us from hurts and pains of the past. And, you know, God has to prune them and he has to cut them off so you can breathe, you know, type of deal. This is what I've been telling people in Bible college. When you go to Bible college, just like when I went to Bible college, it's a supernatural thing. It really is. You step into a cocoon, a literal surgery camp, and you allow God to go in there and to show you yourself. This is where you need the healing, is your own self. And so, like the ones that are in the identity class right now, you know, they're doing some real soul searching, you know, and it just helps to have me, you know, guide them along the way type of deal. But the trees in that field, in God's great garden, which is all of you, you know, you clap your hands when God rebukes you. You clap your hands when he cuts, when he removes, when he prunes. Because we're going to be standing in heaven one day, and we're going to wish we would have allowed him to go into our garden and to cut away those vines that was choking us to death. And how we couldn't get over something that was just a vine sitting there just slowly choking, 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 because we were so angry over what that vine did to my tree. It's another one of them vain things, like what I did to Rob Parsley. We have to get over ourselves and forgive him. We have to say, cut it off, Lord. I just feel in the spirit there's somebody listening right now. Let's all pray. I'm going to stop what I'm doing. We're going to deal with this vine. Somebody has a vine or more vines that are literally wrapped around your tree and is choking you to death through past hurt and anger, maybe even current hurt and anger. But if you don't allow God to cut that off, that may be your final removal by Satan. You know, there's a reason that you're here, because God wants to heal you and allow you to forgive that person so that you can be set free of that vine. See, that vine is a fence that climbs around you and wants to choke the spirit out of you. We can't let Satan do that. So let's all lift your hands right now. Say, in the name of Jesus, I recognize that vine today, Lord. And I need your help to get rid of this vine. I can't do it on my own, Lord. But what I am confessing today is that I forgive. I forgive, and then just call out their name. I forgive them. Lord, please heal me of that hurt and that pain that it caused. I know I can't control them, Lord. So I'm giving that burden to you right now. And I am giving you that vine. And I'm asking you to take that Holy Ghost sword and cut that thing off me right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you for relieving me of that vine, Lord. Healing me like only you can. In Jesus' name, amen. Somebody got delivered right there. I felt it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I worship and praise you, Lord. Those vines want to choke you and kill you. All right, now let's continue, because we still got a ways to go. Now. So the land had rest, and he had no war in those years, verse 6, because the Lord had given him rest. Therefore he said unto Judah, let us build these cities, and make them walls and towers and gates and bars, while the land is yet before us, because we have sought the Lord our God. We have sought him, and he's recognizing it's the Lord has given him rest on every side. So they built and prospered. Isn't that something? Hold it. They prospered when they walked in holiness, when they brought God in the equation and allowed God to heal those roots. Yes, yes, yes. And Asa had an army of men that bore targets and spears out of Judah, 300,000, and out of Benjamin that bare shields and drew bows, 280,000. All these were mighty men of valor, men of stature, men of good report. And there came out against them Zerah, the Ethiopian, with a host of 1,000,000 and 300 chariots, and came unto Mesra. Boy, does that sound like our story yesterday? Yes, it did. Not yesterday, but the day before. It does sound like it, don't it? They had an army coming against them that was 5 times as big as what they was. Then Asa went out against him and they set the battle in array in the valley of Zephatha of Meresha. But look at the difference. Look at the difference. Verse 11. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee. And in your name we go against this multitude. What? You called upon the name of God? You called upon your God in time of trouble? Yes, he did. And notice how he says here, with them that have no power. How many of you right now look at this global situation and think, we have no power against these people? I mean, you know, they can come after us with their horses and chariots because we don't, there's nothing we can do. We're helpless here. And that's what I feel like he's saying here. They have no power. So we either, just like we said on Tuesday, we either have to know that God is our God or he's not. Remember, I got to tell you again, that dream of the monster coming after me. Remember that one? I was fellowshipping with a bunch of people outside in the backyard somewhere. And this thunderous noise happened, and this monster come around the corner. It kind of looked like a dinosaur. And he had a big snout on him with these big ugly teeth, and he was wanting to eat people. So everybody was screaming and running. But when I saw him, the first thing that came up in my spirit is, God, you're either my God right now or you're not. Because I knew, I you know, there's no way I can run. Look how big I am. I mean, you know, you're going to have to be my God and protect me or there's nothing, you know. And that thing come right at me, boy. And he put that snout up against my chest. He was ready to just go to town. Probably looking at me like I got a good feast right here. I looked at him and I said, in the name of Jesus, back off. And when I said the name of Jesus, which is why I believe all these Hebrew roots and everybody's wanting to get everybody from the name of Jesus, they're having them hang Jesus on the cross and they're losing their power. It's really sad. But anyway, that monster backed off and bowed to Jesus. Yes, he did. I'll never forget that. But at that point, we are like this person that he's describing here. You know, we have no help here. We're alone. We either have to have, we have no power. It's either God is our God right now or he's not. And it says here, help us, O Lord, our God. See, I really believe that in this end time scenario, that's what's happening. Even with the V, people are choosing who their God is. And then I can hear you say, no, they were pressuring because they had to work and they wanted to travel and yada, yada. So it really wasn't a choice of God. It wasn't. I have to disagree. I believe it was. Because who do you believe is going to take care of you that you have to take something so abominable for protection? Do you believe that God is going to take care of you in the wilderness even if they cut you off completely? Do you really believe that God is going to take care of you like Elijah, or do you not? And I believe this is where people are at now. They're choosing their God. Because I am telling you guys again, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, and I'm not saying this judgmental either, but I'm saying this as a mother. Just please hear me on this. You never know people till they get under pressure. Squeeze them enough and see what comes out. We saw when the V happened the choices people made because the pressure was on them and they squeezed. They acted accordingly to who their God was. Oh, I can't lose my job. Oh, I can't give up my career. Now, I've heard this from people. I went to school all them years. I'm not giving it up, you know, type of deal. even though family members have warned them, people have warned them, people knew, they've heard. And if they didn't, then they were so far in the world they couldn't see straight, you know. But this is a choice that we are making in this end time hour, is who is your God? Okay, let me give you an example of Miss Rosemary. When she talked about the FEMA camp, this is how serious this is, even to this day. I heard her heart when she talked about the ashes coming from the sky and people sweating and stinking, I imagine, with the ashes covering them and sticking to them because of that sweat. There's no showers in these FEMA camps, and these people are having to put up with this stench or whatever for weeks. Now, here's how the government's doing them. They're not forcing them, oh, you got to sign on the dotted line and take the V as soon as you come to the camp, because it would catch people off guard, right? They would be on guard, but wear down their body and wear down their defenses and then present it to them, because that's exactly what they're doing. Oh, we've got you showers over here, but in order for you to get that, you're going to have to take the V. You know, it's just that simple. So which God? That's the way I see that's happening. You know, I'm going to provide for you, but you're going to have to become a part of me to get in. And I'm going to tell y'all, going back to that show 100, gives such a good representation of how that is. Because in order for you to enter the city of light and receive of the benefits of that city, you had to swallow the pill, which inserts the app. The same thing as this liquid. It inserts the app. And then you can receive of their benefits. But the sad thing is you're killing yourself. You're dying. In this show, it shows it. You lose your soul. You go in there and you have no more emotions. You cannot even remember your past, hardly. Anything that was of good, you won't be able to remember it, type of deal. And that now they're in this new system, but now they become a part of this hive mind, which means, okay, you remember how I'm explaining to you guys about how the Holy Spirit is my guide, and how it's a superpower, and how he, you know, talks to me, and I can ask him any minute, you know, Lord, I've got to ask these people a question. I need to know what you got to say about it, you know, and how he was there. Well, that's the way this is. They now have a new person on the throne. That's what I believe is the abomination of desolation, because they have this, they changed. There's been many people tell me how people have changed since they took it, much less got sick and downhill and whatever. I mean, but the point is that now in the hive mind, when it's activated, right now it may not be activated to this level, but the foundation is there. And so when this world unity comes in, like what it shows on the show, they will be of one mind and one accord in a terrible way. Another movie that gives a good visual of how that's going to look is called Cell, C-E-L-L. When all of these people get overtaken, you know, they will be whatever the beast tells them to do. He's now their superpower, type of deal. This is why I'm telling people, because I'm not God, and I do believe with all of my heart that if you did take it, that there is two more parts to it. So the only way for you to overcome and not receive the other two is for you to renounce it. Because what happens, whether you believe what I say or not, this is a fact. These people that took it came in agreement with the beast. Now, you guys know that my specialty, my training from the Lord, from the top three global firms and everything, is corporate communications. Okay? So that's why I know about agreement. Okay? And about the image of the beast. That's another one of my specialties, which will be the third class of Bible college. The first one is the who you are, identity. The second one is who is Jesus, that's the tabernacle. And then the third one is who is the beast, that's the image of the beast. Logos, symbols, and the image. Okay, so the image of the beast is this, when you, in a nutshell, when you look at the world situation, and this picture comes in your mind. If somebody was to ask you, and they come up out of a coma, hey, what's going on in the world today? And then you describe it within a paragraph, say, that is the image you're believing of what's happening. That's the image of the beast. Because in this worldly situation, you have the image that Trump's putting out, the media's putting out, NAR is putting out. This is the image that all your family members are believing. That is the image of the beast. They are in agreement with this image they're believing. On the other side of that is where I'm at and you are at. This image says, we're in the end of days here. I mean, we're in biblical proportion tribulation here. We are here where the Antichrist is on the scene, you know, and all of it's falling into place. We see it plain as day. But the people in the other image does not see it. Why don't they see it? Because they're believing the image of the beast, which is what it talks about in the book of Revelation. It talks about those that worship the image. They're worshiping because they're obeying this image. They're believing this image. We are over here looking at the image of the Word of God that tells you plain as day what we're looking at. Do y'all hear what I am saying? Okay, so let's get back to the Word here. So, because you took the V and you come in agreement with that image, for whatever reason, you're still going to have to come out of that agreement. You're going to have to renounce it. You're going to have to cast it off. You reject it, utterly reject it, and not receive of the benefits. So what does that mean? If they come after you again, y'all remember the day I told you I was in that place when I went with my girlfriend, you know, I only get to see her once a year, my best friend, Brenda. And we was in this place, and this woman's watch went off. Do you have signs of COVID-19? Do you have symptoms? Do you have a headache, ma'am? And she's talking to this thing, this watch. You know, those Fitbit watches are a farce. They're Satan is self-monitoring your insides. So that thing knew she has the oncoming symptoms of it, but she doesn't recognize it yet. And so she's answering this, like, shut up. You shut up. That's what she's telling it. And I'm talking a teenage girl. You shut up. I don't want you talking to me. Stop that. Yeah, telling this AI thing that is telling her, ma'am, you have got oncoming symptoms of COVID-19. You know, and I tried to tell all these women that were standing there, you know, freaked out over her. They're like, I have that watch too. You know, I would say out of all them women, there was probably 10 women there in the room. I bet you 8 out of the 10 had that watch. I guess they thought they were cool and relevant. I don't know. But here's me, you know, the one next to the President of the United States watching this stuff. I'm telling these people, listen here. Y'all people don't know what that thing is. Y'all need to get rid of it. It is monitoring your symptoms and your body. And not only that, it's monitoring your mental health. Do y'all understand what's happening right now with the mental health industry? You know, but you know what their comment was to me back? We don't care. I like my watch. It does all my appointments and everything. Yeah. They didn't care because of why? The image of the beast they're believing. The convenience. Everything about that word is convenience. Okay, so let's continue here. All right, so let's see here. Where are we at? Oh, we're on verse 11. Hey, Papa, you want to say hi to everybody?
Hello, everybody. Hey, I'm going to go up to the pond.
Okay.
I want to make a blind thing up there. How's everybody doing today?
They're doing good, sir. Well, what time is it? It is 10 o'clock. It has been so good today.
Well, that's good.
I'm reading 2 Chronicles chapter 14 about King Asa.
Uh-huh.
Who was good in God's eyes because he got rid of the idols and all the other stuff. So I told him, with Trump turning around and saying that he's going to do this big revival and they're going to act like he got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost and all this, you know, if he don't have the big, you know what, this weekend. But if he does that, you'll know if he's legit or not by King Asa. Because God ain't going to honor nothing if you ain't going to get rid of them idols, the high right. places, which is a cult, and get rid of the images of Satan and all that stuff.
Right.
You know, so anyways, it's
well,
been
we
good.
Know he's all apart because of the witch
hunt. Yeah, I know. Amen.
All right. I'm going to get back to
you. I love you. Bye-bye.
I'll pick the dog.
Okay, cool. He's going to the pond. Okay, let's go to verse 11. And Asa cried to the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee. And in your name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Everybody lift your hands right now. Just say, in the name of Jesus, you are my God. And I am publicly declaring it today. Just scream it out of your house. You are my God. And I am telling every one of you other devils in this house, you better get out of this house right now in Jesus' name. I am commanding you to go. I am not in agreement with you. And I tell you, oh lying devil, you've been lying to me. I am casting down every high thought in my mind. I am pulling down every stronghold right now in the name of Jesus. And I am telling you to exit this house, my temple, and exit my personal house right now in Jesus' name. I serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and there is no other God but him and my life in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let not man prevail against you. So look what the Lord did. Everybody turn to verse 12. You got to see this with your eyeballs. After King Asa declares in his kingdom who his God is. Look what God did. He begins to tell us in verse 12. So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. And Asa and the people that were with him pursued unto Gerar. Now, pause. Here's this king declaring, you are my God. Remember the other day, that was the title of the prayer call. Who is your God? You have to know this. So God turned around and honored his faith, did he not? Yes, he did. He honored him. And look what happened. And Asa and the people that were with him pursued them. They pursued the Ethiopians, right? Unto Gerar, and the Ethiopians were overthrown, that they could not even recover themselves. Whoa, that is a really big overthrow. For they were destroyed before the Lord. Now, before we read anything else, what does this remind you of? Let's go back to the story of Moses. Remember the blessings of the children of Israel, because remember, we are the modern day Israel, okay? The angel that went from the front of the camp when they were surrounded by Pharaoh and his army. The angel went to the back of the camp. The cloud moved to the back of the camp, was light and warmth to the children of Israel of protection, but was fire and a sword against the enemy. Then God tells Moses, cast your rod on the water. Moses, through obedience, cast his rod on the water. What happened? Through the blessings of God, the waters rolled back and the ground became dry. God gave his people, we're talking like a million people, a lot. It wasn't just a few. We're talking a massive amount of people. That the river parted on both sides and gave way for the honor of the Lord and his people in the earth. The ground even became dry for them to walk on and not be stumbled by mud. They walked in the blessings of God and walked to the other side. But what happened? When the cloud was lifted, because now it's following the children, the cloud is protecting the children as they cross over the river, the Pharaoh and them feel relief because now they don't have this block. So they're looking at the blessings, key, of the children of Israel, key, walking on the dry land with the sides up so that they could walk through and see all the whales and the fish floating beside watching. I just see that so cute. Pharaoh and his army want that blessing, don't they? They walk right on the dry land. They want to walk across and get God's people in the same blessing that God gave his people. Same as this story. But what happened? God said, this blessing was not meant for you. It's meant for my people who see that I am their God. So God troubled their wheels. Meaning, your provision, where you thought you could come in on my territory and my people that I am protecting, I'm cutting your provision off. How was that their provision? Because it was the wheels on their chariots moving them onto God's property. God shut them down, baby. And then what did he do? Before he let that water come over them and flood them, he had Moses, who was his man, to take his rod and cast it back over there to reverse the blessing. The water overflowed and overtook Pharaoh and his army. They were not able to advance in the blessing. Key. I've told you guys time and time again how blessed you're going to be in these coming days. I don't believe this wealth of the weak is laid up for the just the way they're selling it. Because the way they're selling it is you got to go into crypto to get this. You know, go over here where you can start you a business and get all this money and get triple the amount you invest, yada, 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 XRP, yada, yada, yada. They're pushing people to the beast. No. What are you learning this morning? Holiness, obedience, staying preserved, watching your temple, keeping your garments clean, not allowing that stuff. This is where the blessings are. But remember this. Just like Miss Dorothy in that storm. All the other buildings flooded. But because she had blessed hers, hers didn't get flooded. She got lights before anybody else. I'm telling you. When you have your blessings, other people are going to want to jump on board and get those blessings. but it will be a curse to them. If they do not have God as their Lord, the blessing will not be the same to them. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? You may be in a house with somebody who does not have God as their Lord. Your blessing won't be the same for them. They're going to have to bend their knee to the right God, or else. This is the day we're living in. There is no floating the fence anymore, being halfway in and halfway out. You have to be all the way in, or that blessing will be a curse to you. It will not be the same. So let's continue and see what happened over here with King Asa and his army. The Ethiopians were overthrown, that they could not recover themselves, for they were destroyed before the Lord and before his host. Now, I got to tell you guys this that you must know as well. You have angels with you. They are real. This morning, I'm walking across the yard on ice. I pray, angels, please help me get to the office. Because the Bible says that those angels, I don't pray to angels, don't hear me wrong. But I do talk to them sometimes because I know they're there. So I'll say, angels, please help me to walk across this ice to make it over to the office. And they do. That's what I believe is his host, the host of angels. We have more that is for us than is against us, if our eyes could only see. And they carried away very much spoil. Wait a minute. Did we not see that in chapter 20, where they walked away with much spoil? Did we not talk about that with the children of Israel when they left Pharaoh and his army and how they had much spoil? Wait a minute. Now, this is what they're using as the wealth of the wicked laid up for the just. This is what they're saying it as. But the way that they're twisting it to the people is what's wrong. And they smote all the cities round about Gerar, for the fear of the Lord came upon them. And they spoiled, here we go with the spoil again, all the cities, for there is exceeding much spoil in them. So not only was they able to remove all the other enemies, but they got all their other spoils. They smote also the tents of cattle, and carried away sheep and camels in abundance and returned to Jerusalem. How many is ready for that abundance? Everybody lift your hands. Say, in the name of Jesus, I walk in abundance. I walk in your blessings. I walk in you. You are my God. You are my provider. You are the great I am. You're the only I am in my life. And I thank you that that brings prosperity. I thank you, Lord, that I am a sign and a wonder to the enemy. I am a sign and a wonder to my community. Use me, Lord, for your glory. Get out all this stinking thinking in my mind where I partner with poverty. I am not in poverty. I am blessed by you, even in judgment. Bam. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I feel the peace of the Lord this morning. It was awful heavy this morning, wasn't it? All right, let me pray for everybody, and then I'll open up the prayer lines. Lord, we just thank you so much for your word confirming to us this morning, Lord, to choose this day who we're going to serve. We either believe, Lord, that you're our God or you're not. And I thank you, Lord, that we're choosing today by an act of our will to declare that you are our God and great is our God. You are worthy to be praised, Lord. We thank you for showing us in your word today how you honor those that honor you. So today we are choosing to honor you. And Lord, I pray for anybody listening that all of the vines on their tree will be removed today and that they will be set free, Lord. I speak health over everyone from the top of their head to the soles of their feet, healing in the name of Jesus inside and out of their temples in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for everyone that has took the V, that you would deal with their heart, Lord, so that they come out of agreement with what they did with the beast, Lord, and that you would help them, Lord, to overcome the future ones that are coming. And Lord, I just thank you for being with us as your people, Lord, and you are equipping us and training us, Lord, to go to battle like we have never seen before, Lord. But we know that the battle is not ours. The battle is yours. We're going to see your hand be mighty in the coming days. So we thank you and give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.